Good morning. Let's continue our study of the book of Ephesians by turning to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. Ephesians 4:13. Let me go back, please, to verse 11 so we can get kind of a running start into verse 13 rather than too quick of an abrupt start. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And you will notice the sentence continues. But let us deal with the material we find here in verse 13. You will notice that verse 13 is tied organically to 11 and 12, the apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers were given by the Lord to the church for the perfecting of the saints, it says in verse 12, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. We just briefly touched on edifying the body of Christ. The body of Christ, in the biblical sense, you're talking about the group of people, folks who know Christ as Savior, are considered a part of the body of Christ. Now, this body is to be in a process of being built up. It is not merely a numbers game. That is not it at all. And unfortunately, I'm afraid sometimes good men have lost sight of that fact. Once you lead an individual to Christ, you must spend the time with that individual getting them grounded in the Word of God. And that's not going to be accomplished in a short session at a mourner's bench or in an inquiry room. This is going to require some time, personal one-on-one time spent with the personal worker, with the pastor, with whoever leads the individual to Christ. That individual assumes then, or ought to be assuming, a position of responsibility for discipling that new convert. Now, while these new converts are being won, these officers or these servants, these different branches of the servants of God, are supposed to be at work building up the believers, building up the body of Christ. Now you'll notice in verse 13 it says, till we all come. There is, if you will, a time limit, a time frame. While it is ambiguous in that it is not given a specific number of years, months, days, hours, or whatever, you will notice that there is something that is the goal, the objective. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, this perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying of the body of Christ, is to continue and to be carried out by these who are pastors and teachers and evangelists, and to a much lesser extent because of their rarity, prophets, apostles are gone. And really my first reaction concerning the term prophet, when you look at it from a biblical frame of reference, I would have to say that they're gone as well. Because when you talk in terms of the term prophet, most people are thinking in terms of somebody who is making a prediction. The term prophet has to do with the forth telling or the giving forth, the ministry of the Word of God. And their frame of ministry extended until such time that the revelation of God had been recorded, had been written down. After that time, there was no more need for them because anybody who had access to a copy of the Word of God had what the prophet would have said if he had been there. Now, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Here it is, the goal, the objective. And you'll notice it's got two prongs on it here, and actually a continuing description. Till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, notice this. He is not talking here about diversity. This idea of unity. Every Christian, if they are taught properly, will believe in the cardinal doctrines of the faith, the fundamentals of the faith, will believe the same thing as every other Christian when it comes to the matter of doctrine. You say, well, I don't believe that. No, you don't believe it based on what you've seen. But the goal of these men the mission of the pastor and teacher and evangelist, the objective that they've been given is to edify the body of Christ, to perfect the saints, to do the work of the ministry until there is unity, until there is a unanimity of a consensus. This is what the Bible says. This is the faith. It's sad, though you hear it. Oh, so-and-so, yeah, he's of the Baptist faith. She's of the Methodist faith. He's of the Church of God faith. Now, that's an oxymoron. If you're talking about the faith, you're talking about faith in Jesus Christ. If you're talking about a set of denominational distinctives, now you talk Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, or whatever. But you need to understand that because somebody is a member of a Baptist church, there is no Baptist faith. There is no Methodist faith. Now, there may be a, if you want to take it that direction, you can say, well, there certainly are Baptist distinctives. There are certain Methodist distinctives, or Presbyterian, or whatever. And what you're talking about there is the fact that, well, Baptists all agree, all Baptists will agree on certain points of interpretation. Methodists are going to be different from them. They're going to agree this direction, etc. But there's only one faith. Only one faith. Now, you will notice in that conjunction or in that connection, till we all come in the unity of the faith. T-H-E is a definitive article. It separates from the herd one particular individual item. And in this case, it is the faith. It doesn't say until we all come in the unity of faith, until we all come in the unity of a faith. The faith. Now, this is not politically correct. There are some people that will gag on this, but notice this. We are to come, we are to be making progress to the point of the unity of the faith, and grammatically it's understood the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, which in turn produces the perfect man, but we'll get to that in a minute. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. There will come a point, unfortunately it may not happen this side of the rapture, but there will come a time when every believer will know him even as we are known. There will come a time when we all know the same thing about Jesus Christ, because we'll see him as he is. Until that time, that is the goal. That is the objection, the objective. Now, notice this is not the standard fare that you get by the boys who cry for toleration and diversity. This is not the kind of thing you're going to get from the boys who push self-esteem. But it is what the Bible says. Make no mistake in this, my friend. I'm not concerned whether you like me. I'm not concerned whether you like my voice. I'm not particularly concerned whether or not you want to send money. I am concerned that you understand what the Bible says. For only as you understand what the Bible says will you be able to obey what God wants you to do. If you do not take the time to study it for yourself, if you do not take the time, if it is not important enough for you to take it upon yourself to know what God wants you to do, then, my friend, you are doomed at best to floundering and thrashing about, hoping, maybe, to please God. But you have no sure assurance of that, no certain confidence of that fact, if you don't know what He wants. So, therefore, you need to know what the Bible says. Hence, the program, the broadcast. I want you to know what the Bible says. What you do with it is between you and God. I really have no influence on you beyond that. If you remember my congregation, that might be different. But I'm realistic. realistic enough to know that most of you are content where you are, and there's very little likelihood that I'll ever meet you this side of eternity. And yet, the burden is there that you should know. You need to know. Now, he says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, which means there's no fast track, there's no special ed, there's no smarties, there's no dummies, there's no retards, there's no geniuses. There comes a point when everybody is going to know him. And that should be your goal. Paul, in talking to the Philippians, talks about, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Do you want to know him? How much do you want to know him? I didn't say how much do you want to know about him. How well do you want to know him? How close to him do you want to get? Now, you see, here's where you start getting uncomfortable. Well, you see, the problem is this. He is sinless. And quite honestly, we are not. He is holy, and while he enjoins us to be holy, while he commands us to be holy, for he is holy, that is not our highest priority. As a matter of fact, if you want to get ugly about it, obeying him is nowhere near the top of the list of the priority of the average Christian. That needs to change, or we're in trouble. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure... No, wait, perfect man? Whoa, does this mean we have a little halo we're going to polish and just... No. Perfect man. The Greek understanding of this word perfect means mature. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto... Notice... It is on the way to maturity that we come in the unity of the faith, a unity of the knowledge of the Son of God. As we approach that, then we can talk about spiritual maturity, or the King James English word, perfect, the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now here it gets really sticky, but I want you to see what the apostle is saying. You come unto a perfect man. Now, what determines a perfect man? Notice, please, that the comparison is drawn to Jesus Christ. Unto the measure. You are knowing, you're learning more about the faith. You're becoming more conformed to the unity of the faith, to the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto, notice there's a linear progression here, unto the a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You want me to give you a yardstick about your spiritual condition? How much like Jesus Christ are you? Now it's easy to say, well, I'm not this, but I'm not as, and begin to compare yourself with other people. Don't do that. Compare yourself to Jesus Christ. He is the one in whose image you are to be conformed. So, how much like Jesus Christ are you? Now, we don't like that kind of question. It's not comfortable. It doesn't feel any better than answering the question, are you holy? But these are questions that the Bible asks, and it's important to know what the Bible says.